Welcome to another edition of Third World View, your weekly source for news and analysis from around the Third World, right here on community-supported radio, WORT 89.9.
Welcome to the January 24th edition of Third World View. I'm your host, Steve. For tonight's feature, we have an interviews with grassroots activist that Third World View Collective member Mark Becker conducted in Haiti earlier this year.
This is a song, it's a political song I'm going to sing for you. It's called
Un pile monde est mort.
Because many people were killed.
Militant qui tombe pour démocratie. Et un pile militant qui tombe pour démocratie. Genayo map cité non yo. Antoine, Joyce Mary, Benjamin, Marie Vincent, Eddie, Malari, yo tombé pour démocratie. Et si en Haïti, militants ça yo, Pablié yo, Jean-Dominique, Pablié yo. Charles Jacqueline, Pablié yo, Betty Jean, Pablié yo, Gérard Jean-Gis, Pablié yo. C'est pour moi, c'est pour vous militants, ça vous d'abgoumé, pour te kaké en liberté dans le pays. Joyce Mary tombe vers 5h après-midi. Il fait un film bon cobre pour mal manger à petit moi la caille moi. Antoine Ismer est tombé vers 11h du matin à l'église sacrée de Port-au-Prince. Ils sont rentrés dans l'église là pour Antoine Ismer. Ils ont tiré dans le coin de l'église là dehors. Lorsqu'on m'a allé au bagage corps pour manger, ou aller caille Jean Ismer, il est bon corps pour manger. C'est pour ça que je chante pour militants. Gen an pil militant ki tombe pou demokrasi. Gen an yo map site nan yo Antoine Joyce Mary, Benjamin Marie Vincent, Egi Malawi, yo tombe démocratie et si en Haïti militants ça yo pas oublié yo militants ça yo pas oublié yo pêche la justice pas oublié yo.
Well, folks, a couple of quick announcements before we get to the feature. This coming Tuesday, January 26th, there is a benefit for Haiti Relief sponsored by the Cardinal Bar, Madison Sister City Project, Community Action in Latin America, and the Madison Compqua Sister City Association. That takes place this Tuesday at 8 p.m. at the Cardinal Bar located at 418 East Wilson Street. Proceeds will go to Doctors Without Borders Haiti Relief Fund. Also next Saturday, WORT, in conjunction with the High Noon Saloon, presents a Haiti fundraiser that takes place from noon to 6 p.m. and will be broadcast live here on WORT. Now for our feature presentation.
This is Mark Becker of the Third World View Collective. I visited Haiti earlier this year, just before a devastating earthquake shook the country. I traveled with 10 other people on a delegation organized by the Latin American Solidarity Coalition to document human rights abuses in the country. Last week, here on Third World View, we broadcast an interview I conducted with journalist and filmmaker Kevin Pina. That interview provided historical background to the current political situation in the country. In order to help us understand the challenges facing Haiti as it tries to rebuild from the earthquake, tonight I want to bring more comments from the people we talked to and the conclusions of our delegation. One of the people we interviewed was rural economist George Wehrle. He talked about the emergence of a new political consciousness in the 1980s in Haiti.
That's why 1986 is so important, because it means a possibility of change into the system. Because those peasants are also at the same time those who are providing all the economic surplus to the dominant system or subsystem, the capitalist subsystem. The impoverishment came from that, because you have a lot of resources being taken by the urban people at the expense of the peasant classes. So, first thing. Secondly, you have these formations or this exploitation of the worker classes by those economic elite, right? We say that it's the resurgence, the re-emerging of this behavior that we had during the colonial period, where you had this class of slave owners, mainly from the metropole, you know, exporting or taking money, you know, or milking the cow, right? They are doing the same thing, not thinking about what is going in the country. They don't mind about the country nor the people living in this country. I think we are within a system where those people in the rural areas want to make the change for themselves and according to their own project of democracy, direct democracy, not this representative democracy and things like that, right? They want to make it by themselves. That's why they are promoting the local development, and hopefully a new system can be built from the grassroots levels to the national levels, thanks to the local development, the regional development, and things. Because in 1986, one thing, very important thing happened. The peasants, the former slaves, you know, entered the political scenery, and they want to their voice to be heard through the ballots, what they can use it. That's why you got the coup against Aristide. You had all these tribulations, you know, all the problems made to the Haitian government to get access to money, right? Those people want their voice, are ready to valorize their voice to their own project of development and ruling this country.
Avant tout, m'ap salue nou. Moi, c'est Wesfield Petion, ex-prisonnier politique, ex-directeur sécurité au Mont et ex-sécurité président Aristide.
And first, I need to say thanks, hi to you all. And I want to introduce myself. I am Wesfield Petion, and I used to be a political prisoner. And I used to be
director
of the airport security,
and
also the former security guard for President Aristide.
Et moi, il a arrêté 14 jours après président parti.
And I was arrested 14 days before they kept Aristide. Before Aristide left.
Mais oui, Américains, nous étions en bateau à 10 km de garde-côte haïtienne de terre avec la mer.
And Marines, the US Marines took me on a boat that was about 6 miles away.
Je passe 20 jours dans la mer.
I stay in the boat. I spend about 20 days in the boat, the U.S. boat. Or
yo just seulement bon moi de l'eau seulement avec c'est au moral pas jamais manger.
And the U.S. Marines were only providing water and like fluid and never give me anything to eat.
Après 20 jours, transféré en pénitentiaire national.
And after the 20 days, they transfer me on the national penitentiary.
Donc, vous êtes un prisonnier qui passe 10 mois dans pénitentiaire national.
As a political prisoner, I spent 10 months in the national penitentiary.
Et c'est le premier prisonnier tout qui est libéré sous le gouvernement de facto.
And I was the first prisoner who was released on the de facto government.
OK. Donc, m'a dit nous merci parce que nous venons là, parce que son gros travail nous aide, nous venons continuer là.
First, I want to say thanks to you because you come back as a solidarity delegation to help us with a very hard work.
Et je pense que toute organisation que nous rencontrons, c'est de vrais messages que nous avons, c'est pas de mentir là-dedans.
And I believe that all the organizations you could meet share with you the real story about Haiti.
C'est ça qui fait que n'a continué bataille là, nous pas lâcher du tout. C'est pour ça que demain si Dieu veut, nous allons faire une grosse manifestation pour nous demander départ force occupation ça parce que demain si Dieu veut a fait 206 ans depuis que nous prenons indépendance.
So tomorrow morning will be January 1st and it will be the 206th anniversary of the Haitian independence and that's why we will be in the streets to ask the UN occupation to stop.
Et pour nous demander départ KIP ça qui pas conforme à constitution que président Breval mettait pour capable continuer avec agenda contre masse peuple ça.
And also to ask a revocation of the electoral council that is not legal because it doesn't meet all the expectations of the Haitian constitution.
We also talked to people in Bel Air who were victims of the attacks of the UN occupation forces in the aftermath of the 2004 coup that removed Aristide from power.
So still now some people want to come back to live in the houses, but some of the houses are all destroyed and they cannot head back, come back to the house.
Moun bat ka pran la ri, tout jounen sete balap tiri.
It was shooting every day. People couldn't go in the street on the daily activities. And as you will be able to see now, there's still people who have the handicap from shot they receive from the different event of after 2004.
Et puis même ministère et puis ministère aussi hésité et puis au vide des balles sur mon lieu. Et puis moi même dans l'aile l'entour et puis me camper malgré ça moi m'ba à quel côté pour me courir encore parce que courir c'est aller me voir jeune yo.
So the UN soldiers start shooting and people were just going crazy everywhere. So I didn't want to just run because I could get face to face with them and it would be worse for me.
Et puis me lever deux mains en l'air malgré ça me lever deux mains en l'air.
So I like raise my hand just to show that I am like a civilian with no gun.
Et puis même instant et puis yo fouille malgré yo fin fouille yo pas jamais sous moi et puis en allant gen un ki rele mais puis l'aime tourner et puis yo balé mais puis yo jeté ma tête et puis yo tiré l'autre là les amis côté et puis beau dans coup.
And while like I like lift my hand, they could come, they check if I had any gun on me, and they didn't find any gun on me, so they told me I can go. So while I was going, one of them so pushed me, so I fell, and one of them take a pistol and just shoot at me in the neck.
Bon, bala que me prend, l'ambre bala 8 août 2005.
And I was shot like on August 8, 2005.
Bon, à 4 et 3 après-midi.
And it was 4 in the afternoon. And this happened in Witiomas, which is like a street in Bel Air.
We also interviewed residents of Cité Soleil, who similarly were victims of the UN occupation forces.
I am Jean-Baptiste Westill, and like you said, July 6th was very sad in the Cité Soleil community. I was sleeping when I could hear a lot of shooting. I came outside so I could take a look at what's going on. And what I could see was Jordanian soldiers and Brazilian soldiers in the street. And it was difficult for me to get out from my house. And each little alley in the neighborhood had a tank, like this MPV. There was an helicopter surrounding the neighborhood. And I could hear a lot of scream from the people in the neighborhood. So, to be able to go through, I went like an handicap in the street, but I had my camera with me. Because I knew that if I go like an handicap person, maybe the UN soldiers would not hurt me. But this day, even the handicapped people were not avoid from what happened. So they shoot in different directions, but hopefully I was not hurt, even if like I was in the middle of all the shooting.
What I regret for me is that I was in presence of a young guy who was called Ronnie.
It was very sad to see through all I could see that I have footage for. I could see a gentleman, a young guy's name Ronnie.
I
was filming and there was a guy next to me and it could be me taking this bullet because I was just filming when I could hear the noise and he was the one who get hurt. And I was going from dead bodies to get different footage.
Avec Pati Panier.
Even people who were blind were hurt from this massacre.
Et c'est coups qui t'ai gagné, c'est les nous t'as pris les en plein média, les médias ont été atterris, ils t'as pris les en moi parce que les gens n'ont pas de casse-t-il qui vient la cause bagarre des jeunes gens.
This is because I could call different media in the country to show up that the UN soldiers had to stop this because they finally see that some of the journalists couldn't go out with the all shootings going on and finally they decided that they will calm down a little bit.
Et l'aime tap gade tout, moi t'ai remarqué et même la croix rouge.
I could call the Red Cross and Cité Soleil, but even them were not allowed to get into the neighborhood, even if I called them.
Et ça me dit constaté le moment et si j'y ai. C'est balle qui c'est population majorité qui victime sont dans la caillou ma population victime yo pas victime dehors.
So one thing that I could see in July 6 is most of the people who get killed, they get killed inside of their houses and they just civilians who were sleeping inside of the house.
Despite this history of oppression and a pattern of leaders selling out their political interests, Human rights lawyer Mario Joseph remains very optimistic about the ability of grassroots social movements to improve the situation in Haiti. Joseph talks through an interpreter.
One thing that is clear right now is Pouval was succeed in his mission to destroy the Lavalas movement and divide the Lavalas movement. Because now the head, the leaders of the movement are under control of Pouval. And we're talking about Neptune, former prime minister, so Anne, who used to be a big woman activist, René Civil, all these potential leaders are under control of Pouval, and it's very difficult for us now to gather them together and to work united as one. And the grassroots are acting or are left like abandoned because they don't have like someone who could represent like just one will for the movement.
Ça, c'est important. Mais ce qui est important dans son sens, c'est que les gens, dans la masse, là, il faut me dire clair à tête, ils comprennent, ils ont une fidélité, ils ont une personnalité. Et c'est là le problème, non. Et ils ne peuvent pas finir réussir parce que la masse peuple comprend. Et comment il a fait mouvement pour remonter la situation.
One thing now, the huge majority of the people, they understand the situation. And that's why now they're trying to work on somehow that they could overcome the situation where they don't have the leaders to take care of the movement.
Et là, c'est ça qui fait très confiant. Et le mouvement n'est pas perdu. Je garantis que ça n'est pas perdu parce que c'est cadre qui allait. C'est cadre qui va en tête. Mais le mouvement base là, il est encore là.
That's why I'm still confident about the strength of the Lavalas movement, because the people are still there. It's just the leaders who sold themselves, but the spirit of the movement is still in the grassroots.
Et c'est ça que fait. Et 16 décembre, là, t'es une grosse manifestation. Et mon yoté, on peut penser pas d'apprendre, mais il prend parce que grassroots, organisation de base, ils comprennent techniquement le mouvement, ils ont essayé de résister. Et avec les situations privées.
So that's why on December 16th last year, there was a big protest with many people, because the huge majority of the people understood that they are the strength, they are the spirit of the movement. The leaders would think that the protest would not have as many people as it had. But since the people understand, the huge majority of the people understand the situation, they're still in the street to protest and to call about the will, demands, and will.
After our interviews with a broad variety of social movement activists, we held a press conference where we reported on what we observed. First, here's Camila Schneider.
The Latin American Solidarity Coalition from the United States and the Canada Haiti Action Network wish to express our grave concern about human rights in Haiti. Our delegation came to investigate human rights violations, in particular, violations by the United Nations MINUSTAH forces. We will send a report of our delegation findings to the United Nations, to the United States Congress, to President Barack Obama, to the Canadian government, and to Canadian Prime Minister Stephen Harper. We will also circulate our findings to the media in our respective countries. From December 28th to January 3rd, our delegation collected testimony from 71 residents of Port-au-Prince, Cité-Soleil, Bel Air, and Pétionville. These people also represented many different organizations in Haiti coming from a wide range of your community, including farmers, workers and their unions, and street vendors and others that represent your country. We have learned of MINUSTAH attacks and assaults, including sexual assaults. The most serious of these occurred in Cité Soleil and Bel Air. The attacks have resulted in injury and death, with no compensation for the victims or their families. Our report will urge the United Nations General Assembly to investigate Munista attacks and to arrange both financial compensation and medical aid to victims and the survivors.
Stuart Hammond is of the Canadian Haiti Action Network.
We have further learned of the exclusion of political parties from the April 2009 and upcoming February 2010 elections. We are particularly concerned that the Provisional Electoral Council, handpicked by President René Préval, has arbitrarily excluded FAMI LAVALAS, the most popular political party in Haiti. Our report will urge the governments of the United States and Canada to stop their funding of the February 2010 election and to send no election observers, as observation might thereby legitimize the February 2010 election. We have learned as well about severe problems in the judicial and prison system. Prison conditions in Haiti are unconscionable. Furthermore, prisoners often spend months or years in custody without charges. This violates the Haitian Constitution. Our report will express particular concern with the case of Ronald Dauphin, who has yet to receive a proper hearing after years in prison. Our report will also call on the Canadian and United States governments to urge Haiti to launch a formal and public inquiry into the disappearance of political activist Levinsky Pierre Antoine. We've heard from broad sectors of Haitian society about their terrible economic situation. Access to a living wage remains a concern for the majority of the Haitian people.
Finally, Diana Bone.
Industrial workers face waves of layoff due to privatization. These include employees at the port, the sanitation sector, and teleco. Our report will urge representatives of our respective governments to encourage investment in Haiti that offers a living wage. In the informal sector, vendors and merchants face threats to their livelihood. This pressure comes from both government policies designed to favor large corporations and large merchants, as well as criminal attacks on their inventory. Peasants and farmers in rural areas similarly report that they receive no help from the government. We have especially heard that people in Haiti feel that conditions in their country have grown worse since 2004, the coup against President Jean-Bertrand Aristide. People have seen little benefit of aid promised to Haitian society by the international community, but channeled ineffectively through non-governmental organizations. Our report will urge our governments to launch formal investigations of their aid to Haiti. Above all, our delegation discovered that the Haitian people believe that their government neglects them and ignores their demands. The main demand we heard was for the immediate return of President Jean-Bertrand Aristide. Our report will urge the Canadian and American governments to put immediate pressure on the government of Haiti to send a passport to President Aristide, who remains in exile in South Africa after 5 years after the 2004 coup sponsored by the United States, Canada, and France.
Stuart Hammond from our delegation reflects on what he saw in Haiti.
Well, I mean, the remarkable thing about Haiti and Haitians is they keep going, and they're so committed to democracy. It's absolutely remarkable. So it's, although what you see on the ground sometimes, it can make you pessimistic, you just see that people are still getting organized, peasants, poor women, poor workers. I mean, that is a cause for some optimism. I know that now the sort of PC term for failed state is fragile state. At least some Canadian scholars are pushing that term. That's a very offensive one to me when you learn how much the United States and Canada have done to destabilize Haiti. So I know that the Canadian government is terrified that Canadians find out about what they've done in Haiti and the Canadian government has done in Haiti. And I think in the case of Canada, perhaps unlike the United States, it's a small enough country that, in terms of population, that this activism can actually have an impact. Unfortunately, Canada is deeply involved in the Afghanistan war, but I think that people's anger and protests kept Canada out of Iraq. So I would hope that anyways on the Canadian front, we would have a chance to make things better and make some improvements.
James Jordan of the Alliance for Global Justice discusses what he sees as the tasks facing solidarity activists.
We've seen a tremendous uprising happening in our own country in the United States. When the U.S. invaded Iraq, millions of people took to the streets. Millions of people are taking to the streets demanding change in our country. We are not at the point where we can get what we want, but we're growing every day, and international solidarity can change our government and can give sovereignty back to the people of Haiti. What we're trying to do isn't going to happen in 5 months or 5 days, but this is a movement. This is a flood. This is a lavalas that cannot be turned back. We don't only call for our governments to not recognize this election, but we call on our governments to stop interfering. Aristide would be here today if it weren't for a coup that was planned by the United States and that was supported by France and Canada. You would have fair elections today if it weren't for our violations of sovereignty. And what I can tell you is all over the world and in the heart of the United States right now and in Canada, people are joining together and we're growing stronger. This lavalas, this international lavalas, this flood will not and can't stop.
Third World View, this is Mark Becker.
Well, folks, we really all are out of time here on Third World View for this week. I'd encourage you to stay tuned for Salamont, which is coming up right now here next. And please join us again next week here on Third World View.